Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we meditate on our Old Testament reading from Isaiah 41 to 11, in which we hear a word of comfort, a word of preparation, and a word that endures. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that we've heard again this day. We pray that you would bless us now as we meditate on that word, that you would help us to see why it's such good news for our lives, and that you would strengthen us in faith in your dear Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. After 39 long chapters of warning and judgment, Isaiah comes to the people of God with a word of comfort. After many years in exile in Babylon, which is where the people are at this point in time, Isaiah comes to them with a message of comfort. After what's really been a fairly uncomfortable history for the people of Israel, and again they find themselves in a very uncomfortable situation there in Babylon, Isaiah comes to them with a promise of comfort. In fact, he comes with two. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. That repetition at the beginning is Isaiah's way of introducing something that he considers very, very important. As if to say, I've been speaking to you at length, and he really has, at length about the wrath of God and the consequences of sin and the problems that led to the exile. And now I want to talk to you about something different, about God's comfort. His comfort. Comfort in the Bible is care and consolation shown to someone. It's about having pity on others and acts of compassion. That brings comfort. And in this case, it's connected to tender speech as opposed to hard or harsh speech, the assurance of the end of a long battle, and the promise of the forgiveness of sins. Now, we tend to see comfort in much lesser terms, I think. What do you think of when you think of comfort? I think of, you know, having really good temperature control on my reverse cycle air conditioning or something like that. I think of walking around in my Ugg boots with a cup of coffee in my hand. Comfort, right? That's what we tend to think of. Now, I don't think that's what Israel were thinking of when they were sitting and weeping by the rivers of Babylon, longing for home. I think they had something a bit more in mind. You see, Israel's situation wasn't just mild discomfort. It wasn't just a little inconvenience. It was a problem. It was a real serious problem in their history and in their lives. American author Robert Fulghum writes, "If you break your neck, if you have nothing to eat, if your house is on fire, you've got a problem." So much else that we think of as problems are inconveniences. And he says, life is full of inconveniences. Life is lumpy. He says, a lump in the oatmeal, a lump in the throat, a lump in the breast are not the same kind of lump, and one should be able to learn the difference. When I read that, I thought, he's spot on. And the reason we confuse perhaps those creaturely comforts with real comfort is because we confuse the lack of them with a real problem. And the author's saying, most of what we consider to be real problems aren't real problems. And therefore, much of what passes for comfort these days is not real comfort, not the comfort God's getting at. Israel's exile had taught it what a real problem was. What a real problem was. And how much then they longed for the opposite. They longed to be home again. They longed to be at peace again. They longed to be with God and reconciled to God and to their families who they'd been separated from. They longed for that. And so after Isaiah has been reminding them for 39 long chapters that the mess they are in is largely their own doing. He now reminds them that God intends to do something about it. That God intends to bring comfort into their lives. That God has seen their suffering and seen their pain and seen their struggle and wants to assure them this battle is nearly over. Hang in there. There is comfort on the horizon. So it's this promise of restoration for Israel initially and out of Israel eventually. And it's a type of comfort that makes creaturely comforts pale in comparison and seem like nothing. And also allows us to live without them if we need to. Most of us know the power of having just the right person at just the right time give us just the right word of comfort. Or just the right act of kindness. You know, most of us at some point in our lives have been on the receiving end of honest pity and compassion and comfort. And it's a wonderful thing. It's God at work. We read in 2 Corinthians 1, we are to comfort others with the comfort we ourselves have received. We learn that real comfort is a precious gift that we get and that we're able to give also. So it's a word of comfort. Secondly, Isaiah's words are words of preparation, words that actually pave the path for that comfort to come into our lives. Because we can hear about comfort, but it's sometimes hard to know how does that comfort actually reach us. And that's what Isaiah goes on to explain. He says, a voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted, every mountain and hill made low, the uneven ground become level, the rough places a plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Now, Matthew and Mark and Luke and John all see fit to pick up this passage and to stick it right at the beginning of their Gospels and to show how it points to John the Baptist. That's how important they thought it was. And so when we hear these words, they're pretty familiar to us because we hear them every Advent, and they're very simple words, but they're very profound words. And the imagery there is the visiting dignitary coming into town. And the question is, how are we going to give them a smooth passage? You know, the right amount of fanfare for a person like this. And often they'd actually construct a new road through the wilderness, lifting up the valleys, bringing down the mountains, making sure they had a smooth passage in. The herald of comfort comes through the uncomfortable terrain of the wilderness to enter our world and our lives. And Isaiah shows us how to prepare for it, how to begin at least to prepare for it. He says, when you hear this voice, when you hear this voice, you know something big is coming. Something important is on the horizon. It's like in movies like Jurassic Park or Jumanji or movies like that. You know, when you see the glass of water start to shake on the table, you know something big's coming, right? That's the idea. That's what you're meant to think. You see the artwork start to fall from the walls. You know something big's coming. That's what it's meant to indicate in your mind. And Isaiah says, when you hear this voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, you know something big's coming. You know your comfort is coming. You know your comforter is coming. So sit up, take notice, get ready for him. I wonder how you've been getting ready. I wonder how you've been preparing for Christmas. I wonder what you've been doing. I've been eating a lot of honey biscuits, I know that much. You know, we prepare like the world prepares often. We prepare, we get ready to get together with our family and friends. We make plans a little more cautiously this year than usual. We get the presents ready, we get the tree ready, we get some lights ready maybe. There's nothing wrong with any of that. But Isaiah's trying to get our hearts ready. Trying to get our heads ready for the celebration of Christmas. That's the wilderness that he wants to pave a path through so that when the message comes, so that when the Christ comes, we're ready to receive him. And John the Baptist's voice always comes like thunder from heaven, like the wind of the last few days. Right? It comes with power and great gusto. And he says, repent, be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, believe in the good news. That's the voice of John the Baptist, and that's what gets us ready. And our hearts and minds are the ground that need to be prepared. And it's our pride and our complacency that's the mountain that needs to be brought low. And our dejection and our despondency, that's the valley that needs to be lifted up. And most of us have a bit of both at work in our lives. And John comes to get us ready to bring some things down, to lift some things up, so that the Christ has a smooth path into our hearts and minds, into our lives. Then, Isaiah says, the glory of the Lord will be revealed. Advent is not just about getting our houses ready. It's not just about getting our calendars ready. It's about getting our lives and our hearts and our minds ready for the celebration of the coming of the King. If you're looking for one really practical way to get ready this Advent and you haven't picked up one of those Advent devotional books, I'd encourage you to do that. Just make a little bit of time each day in Advent. You've missed a few, but you can catch up. It's not too late. And just read through it each day. It's a way to get your heart ready, your mind ready for the true message. You can even do it with a honey biscuit in the other hand if you have to. All right? Devotional book there, honey biscuit there. You're all set. And then the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And then your heart and your mind will be more ready to receive that glory when it comes. Now, not only is Isaiah convinced that God has comfort for his people, not only is Isaiah convinced that John the Baptist is preparing the way through the uncomfortable terrain of our world and our hearts, but finally, Isaiah is convinced that these words he is speaking will endure, that they have an enduring quality about them. He says, all flesh is grass, and all beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. I bought some sunflowers the other day that lasted about 3 days. I was very disappointed. But at best, flowers last, what, a few weeks? The grass of the fields, a few seasons. You know, Isaiah is saying there is something more enduring, there is something more abiding to hold on to. And it's like all those creaturely comforts, you know, they fade away or we become so accustomed to them that we just take them for granted. Their satisfaction is so short term, it's so skin deep. God's comfort and God's word is enduring. It's sustaining. It never grows old. When life lets us down, God does not. When people come and go, God remains. When sin threatens to spoil us, God promises to forgive us. When suffering overwhelms us, God promises to carry us. And so God speaks his enduring words into our hearts and minds. When human words just offer so little comfort, or when they're so hard or harsh, God's word speaks to our hearts, tenderly to our hearts, and fills us with the promise of his Son and his Spirit and the hope that comes from knowing him. That's why we sing in the words of the old hymn, when other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, O abide with me. Because God's word endures and abides and can help us to endure and abide. And with it come all God's gifts of body, mind, and soul that continue to bless us so richly through Christ our Lord. Let's pray that it will. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, your enduring word. We thank you that it never grows old. We thank you that it's always new. We thank you that it always has something new to say to us. We pray that during this Advent season, you would till the grounds of our hearts and minds, that you would be at work in them, We pray that you would prepare us, not simply as the world prepares itself, but as you want us prepared to receive and to celebrate the good news of the birth of your Son this year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.